Hello, friends. Welcome back to Out of This World Radio. My name's Ted Marv, broadcasting now on BBS Radio with the help of my good friends Don and Doug in Texas. And I want to thank you all so much for your beautiful love and support. You know, if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world. During this segment of today's shows, I'll be giving messages from John F. Kennedy, who I spoke to him last night and channeled a whole bunch of messages from him on what's happening today. And he's extremely positive and optimistic in spite of all the challenges we're facing now. And he wants you to know that he is still our president. Even though he was assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963, he has never stopped being our president and always will be our president, our real president on the other side. And that goes for Jackie Kennedy, too, our real first lady, not a fake president, not a fake first lady, but a real president elected by a majority of people here in this great country and supported by them to make this world, to make the United States and this world especially a much better and happier place. He's never stopped being our president, and he's been supporting us all the way through and doing a lot of really good things for peace. He's always been interested in peace, and I've sent some clips for Don to play when he gets back. But his words regarding, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, still rings true today. If he'd been allowed to live and hadn't been assassinated by Lyndon Baines Johnson, the CIA and the FBI, he would be clearly one of our greatest presidents. He's still one of our greatest presidents, but the society he would have helped shepherd in the new fifth dimension and the ascension into this planet. And we would all be living at least 300 or 400 years of peace now. We would be in the fifth dimension. We would have free energy. There would have been no Vietnam War. There would have been no Gulf War. President George Bush Sr. and Jr. would have never become president. Barack Obama, which is a CIA creation, would have never become president. We would have a very different and beautiful and very loving, our harmonious country right now, without the conflicts that we have now and the turmoil that we're currently facing. But we're still going to ascend. We are still going to create a beautiful and harmonious planet because that's our destiny. And being on the other side where he is now, President Kennedy has ample time and ample abilities to talk to God or the Supreme Being, if you will, about creating a better future for the United States and the world. And he can see it very clearly. Back about 7 years ago, when I first started talking to him, he said that the Earth as a whole had, thank you, Don, appreciate it so much. Thanks so much, Don. The world as a whole was visualized like a ball of light. And there were a lot of dark places. That was about 7 years ago. Most notably, there was a conflict between the United States and North Korea. But he was working tirelessly behind the scenes back then and now for world peace. And he was successful in reaching the subconscious minds of both President Trump and President Kim Jong-un back then to reach an agreement between the two gentlemen that they really wanted peace and not to destroy the world with nuclear weapons or any kind of conflict. And he was able to do that. Then several years later, he was able to reach the same kind of agreement with with the leaders of the Middle East and President Trump in getting together a lasting and meaningful peace agreement between Iran, Saudi Arabia, some other countries in the Middle East, and of course the United States and Israel. And that peace is still held to this day, even with all our challenges. And it's not something that the cabal corrupt media reports upon here in the United States, but it did happen. And it's a lasting peace that he achieved with both President Trump and the leaders of the Middle East and Israel that people don't hear about. They only hear about the bad stuff on the cabal controlled media because they want to fill you full of fear. But don't be fearful. President Kennedy is going to give us a lot of hope and inspiration during this segment of the show today so we can create a beautiful, bright, and happy future. This is the destiny of humans on this planet. We're not supposed to be fighting. We're not supposed to be in constant fear. We're not supposed to be constantly fighting with each other. We're supposed to be living in peace and harmony. And this is actually, of course, one of the goals, if I may bring in Dr. Emoto briefly, the messages from water. This is one of his goals when he wrote his book, The Messages from Water. And that's also why he was killed by the Chinese and the reptilians back in 2014. He was poisoned by them. But he's now working with Pleiadian scientists on the other side to clean up water here on this planet. And he's also, Dr. Emoto is also working for world peace. He has met President Kennedy, and both men like each other, and they do good work. I'd like to start off this this segment of the show playing that short piece, Don, where it says, "Ask Not Speech." It's only about 30 to 40 seconds long, but its meaning is still very powerful and important for today's world as well. So I'll let you go ahead and get, thanks, Don, to get that together. Appreciate it. We'll just play it, and then we'll move on.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
Thanks, Don, so much for playing that. That was great. When he was president in the 1960s, President Kennedy said, and the world was facing a lot of different challenges to world peace and world freedom as well. And President Kennedy wanted me to play several of those speeches today. He had what he called a Four Freedoms speech he'd like for me to play. And there was another one on peace, on revolution, and on conformity that he wanted me to emphasize as well. So we're going to go through these today and then give his updated messages regarding all of these topics. In some ways, he says the United States has become a bit complacent. The population, like he was asking before when I was looking at the different the demonstrations in France and Paris and in Amsterdam going on right now in Europe, there are tens of thousands of people protesting against the tyranny there and against the food shortages now and the higher fuel prices. And this has all been engineered by the cabal, and they're doing the same thing here in the United States as well. Biden ordered farmers last year to stop growing crops for this year's food productions. Did anybody complain? Were there demonstrations against it? Nope, not that I could tell. And we need more than just complacency to turn things around. And that's one of the messages that President Kennedy wanted me to convey to all of you today. One of the messages I got looking at these different scenes of tens of thousands of people protesting in Europe was, where are the Americans? What are the Americans doing? I said, I don't know. I mean, I'm not advocating, let me just make it clear, I'm not advocating any violence whatsoever. That's not what I'm advocating. But people really need to stand up for their rights and liberties, because if we don't, we're going to lose them. I don't know what the right answer is in terms of how to turn this country around, but clearly it's been hijacked by the very Democratic Party that John F. Kennedy was part of back in the 60s. He said now it's gone beyond. He wouldn't be a Democrat today with the kind of values the Democratic Party has. It's totally un-American. They don't represent American citizens. They certainly don't represent any kind of values of freedom, truth, or justice anymore. It's a rogue party that's been taken over by a foreign party, namely the Chinese and other interests in the cabal. And we have to fight against it now. And the grounds for for a second American revolution are stronger than they've ever been for this country and for the world. The U.S. was meant to be as a model in many ways for the rest of the world. And if we fail, then the rest of the world's going to fail as well. I'm sorry. But we've got a tremendous weight and responsibility on our shoulders. Who knew that 2 years ago, a dangerous group of cabal leaders from the Democratic Party would stuff the ballot boxes and have a blatantly illegal and bogus election. And then the media nowadays acts like we're supposed to accept those results. Why? Why should we accept a crime, the fact that a crime's been committed? The mass media talks about Biden and the so-called White House. When Biden doesn't even give speeches at the White House, the White House is under barbed wire and fencing right now. Biden hasn't been there. He isn't there. I don't know where he is, some sort of Hollywood actor set, but he's not our president. He never got the 81 million votes that allegedly he did back in the 2020 election. So why should anybody pay attention to him? There's no reason to do it. If a fellow like that's been illegally elected or installed in office and not validly elected, what right does he have to claim to be president of the United States when his entire election was totally illegitimate? That's one thing I don't understand. And people not only need to stand up to him, but they also need to stand up to the cabal and to the media as well, because the media is totally corrupt. President Kennedy had a lot to say about that back in 1962, 61, 63, when he was president. I want to play one of those speeches now, and then I'll give his current messages. The second one I'd like to play, Don, if we could play the section from 223 to 440 at the Guardian. It's the next speech after this one, my friend.
Our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. To those old allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we pledge the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of the free, we pledge our word that one form of colonial control shall not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny.
As applied to today's society, basically the important part, I think, of this speech that President Kennedy did back in 1962 was that we are heirs to that. To our first revolution, 1776. Our country was born out of conflict. We fought for freedom against King George, and we won. And we need to continue that today. We have to remember that appeasing the negative elements that are trying to destroy this United States will get us absolutely nowhere. And the greatest enemy, I think, is perhaps not so much beyond our borders as it is within our borders, within our so-called corrupt corrupt leaders like Biden, who wasn't even validly elected 2 years ago, who sits in office only because of what CNN says. Nobody questions his orders. None of his executive orders are legally valid. None of them have been published in the Federal Register. If you take it to court, you would win. The guy is just a puppet for negative elements who are trying to destroy this great country and destroy the world as well. So why does anybody follow him? He has no legal authority over anybody in this country. Secondarily, President Kennedy back in 1962 in his speech talked about passing the torch from the generation of the first American Revolution to his generation. And now we need a second American Revolution. I've spoken quite a bit about this with President Kennedy and George Washington, who've also come to me, Abraham Lincoln, and they didn't work as hard as they did to create this country and establish the freedoms that we have today, just to let it go, be taken away by a bunch of thugs from the Democratic Party, like BLM and Black Lives Matter, so-called Black Lives Matter, who are more interested in killing Americans. Can you believe? I mean, George Washington is turning over in his grave at the thought of Biden getting 87,000 new IRS agents, all staffed, being given AR-15 assault reference rifles, with the specific task of killing Americans. Doesn't that bother anybody out there? Bothers me. How would you like to have some of Biden's agents coming down your street, your city hall, your downtown areas, and just start shooting Americans? Is that okay? I don't think it is. And if you are shot, what are you going to do? Protest? We need to do something, my friends, because this is getting totally out of hand. One of the other important points, of course, of President Kennedy is united we will win, and divided we will fall. So we have to unite ourselves in spite of all this negativity and the conflict that's currently being engendered by the deep state and the Democratic Party, to find common ground with Americans and people of the world, because we all want freedom. We all want to live, be happy and be free. People don't like to be enslaved. They don't like to have all these restrictions. The mask mandates, the social distancing, the vax requirements were all designed to lock us up in a permanent police state. There was a publication done by Alex Collier. He's an Andromeda contactee back in 1996. It's still available on the web. It's called Holding Sacred Ground. And in that publication, the Andromedans had gone ahead 300 years. Andromedans are a human society in the Andromeda galaxy. It's the next galaxy over from this one. They have a blue sun where they have blue skin. But they're very loving, kind, benevolent people, and they are people. They're humans like us. They said that they went 300 years in the future and discovered that the Earth had changed into a totalitarian society ruled by, we were all slaves, and we're totally unhappy, very warlike planet where many people have been killed. And the Galactic Alliance had a conference on that, and they were all very concerned about that forecast, because they could time travel. They could go into the future and look to see what was going to happen 300 years in the future. And no matter which way they looked at it, they found that all roads led back to the 90s and the turn of this century, in this time period, where people were so worried about being conforming to society, about what's so-called politically correct, that they gave up their rights, liberties, and freedoms. You know what Benjamin Franklin said? He said, those who give up liberty for give up for substitute their security for freedom deserve neither. And he was absolutely spot on, I think, about what's happening today in this world. People who are willing to give up, you know, their right to travel, their right to breathe air, even with these stupid masks on that didn't work, social distancing, all of that were not worth it to give to and especially people find that all of these things were bogus, based upon lies and not science. They weren't there to help us at all. They were there to hurt us and enslave us. The There were four freedoms that President Kennedy talked about, and I think those four freedoms we need to. He wants me to play this segment next of the four freedoms that he talked about in his speech. Is this Don? This would be the third one here. It's main period MP4. It's about the four freedoms, just a couple of minutes long. Thank you, my friends. Then we'll discuss it.
The president's remarks on the four freedoms from the president's office in the White House, February 6, 1962.
Nearly a generation ago, Franklin Roosevelt summed up the aspirations of the 20th century. Freedom of speech and expression, freedom of worship, freedom from want, freedom from fear. All to be enjoyed, he said, everywhere in the world. Today, 20 years later, the world is more dedicated than ever to these goals and has in the United Nations and in the individual efforts of countries such as ourselves the means of working in concert to secure the four freedoms for all people everywhere. These freedoms, which were vindicated against the assault of fascism in the Second World War, have been under harsh and insistent attack from another totalitarian faith in the years since. Yet no one can doubt that President Roosevelt was everlastingly right when he named the four freedoms as the common purpose of humanity. In the last 20 years, 43 nations have come into being, and in every new nation, one can see the rising demand for each one of the four freedoms. This demand cannot be denied. Any system which sets itself against the spontaneous instincts of humanity will, in the end, go down to defeat. It will do so, that is, so long as the citizens of free societies live up to themselves, to the exacting responsibilities of freedom, so long as they know that freedom is not a negative, but a positive faith. So long as we all make every day more clear the strength of our commitment to freedom from want and freedom from fear everywhere in the world by assisting new nations in their struggle for national identity and pressing ever forward in the quest for disarmament and world peace. Those who deny freedom to others, said Abraham Lincoln, deserve it not for themselves. As we ourselves, day in, day out, meet the challenge of the four freedoms, we may be confident that these freedoms will increasingly be, as Franklin Roosevelt said, no vision of a distant millennium, but rather a definite basis for a kind of world attainable in our own time. All history shows that the revolution of freedom is permanent and irresistible. And I am proud that from our earliest beginnings, we have been part of this great revolution.
President Kennedy has a direct message for the people of the United States today and the world that the kind of fascism that we're facing now is very different from World War II. We still have censorship, but it's a technological fascism where artificial intelligence bots on social media will actually ban or strike you if you use certain words, if you talk about certain things, if you mention certain links, if you reference people who they deem not to be, quote, trustworthy, as if we're supposed to trust artificial intelligence. This is a threat to our freedoms, a clear and present danger, and the framers of the Constitution would have never, ever allowed this back in 1776. Sure, times are different, technology's different today, but it's the same issues of freedom that's facing us now. And it's a technological fascism that we have to fight, according to President Kennedy. And we must win this battle or else we won't have any freedom of thought and freedom to make this world a better and happier place. And who are they to determine who, what we think and what we do and how we think? That's our God-given right. Fortunately, here in the United States, we have the First Amendment, which secures our right the freedom of speech, and we have to fight for it now, just like our forefathers did in 1776 when they established the United States. These freedoms we have in this country are hard-fought freedoms, which were not handed to us on a silver platter back in 1776. We had to fight a revolution, and it's time, according to George Washington, to have our second American Revolution now. I'm not advocating violence, but President Kennedy has some words on that, and I'd like to share that with you now. First off, Don, let's go ahead and show the one JFK piece with the quote from President Kennedy. Thanks so much, Don. That'd be great. Well, we shall never weary in the defense of freedom, neither shall we ever abandon the pursuit of peace. And that's what President Kennedy has been doing ever since he was assassinated by the Lyndon Baines Johnson, the FBI, and the CIA in 1963. That's right, another government agency murdered him. But nothing's ever been done about it, but it's the truth. Let's go to the next one here on revolution. Now, this is a fascinating quote he wanted me to show you today. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And I'm saying this, he said, to reference Australia in particular, and Canada, and the United States as well. These so-called leaders in here in the United States, Canada, and Australia and other countries, if they make peaceful revolution impossible, if they give no office, no way for people to peacefully address their grievances against the government, against the society, against the wrongs of what they perceive of what's going on, you believe me, there will be a violent revolution. I hope one doesn't come. I'm not advocating a violent revolution, but these monsters in charge of our government, and Biden is a monster, they don't allow us to, we have to take things in our own hands now. And if we don't, we will lose our country. We will lose this world. We will become a totalitarian state. And I don't think anybody wants to see that happen. We have to stand up for our rights and liberties. There was an interesting fellow who was traveling from the North Dakota border into, I think it was Saskatchewan. He had a son who was in high school, and they had a basketball tournament. So he drove him down into the state staff for this tournament. And when he was driving back, the Canadian customs. Thank you, Don. Let me get to this. Asked him for all this stuff about his vaccine status and everything else. And he said, no, I'm not complying. And the guy said, well, I'll have to direct you to Health Canada over there. So he pulls off a little ways from the border, and this official starts asking about his vaccine status. He says, no, I don't want to tell you what I am or not. I just want to go home. She said, okay, bye. I think it's hilarious. Pal, if you stand up to these people, to these tyrants, they're not going to enforce law. They don't. The officials up in this Border Patrol station up in Canada, they didn't want to enforce anything that Trudeau said anyway. So here, John F. Kennedy said, conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. Everyone is sometimes so worried nowadays about being politically correct, about fitting in with the mainstream narrative of what's going on. They lose their inspiration. They lose their independent ability to think clearly about issues. And it's especially bad in a lot of so-called liberal areas in the United States. I know out in Seattle, where I live in that area, you have a lot of people who are very, very concerned about conforming, about doing what the politically correct thing, especially in Seattle and in Portland too, and not questioning authority. Well, people need to stand up, or they're not going to make it. They're just not going to make it, because these people behind the scenes in the cabal don't have our best interests in mind. And President Kennedy says he's got your back, to stand strong, that the planet, the ascension is happening right now as we speak. And it's going to be here before you know it. He said that within 2 years, year and a half to 2 years, the entire planet is going to become one huge, big, bright ball of white light, because so many people will have woken up. There's going to be so many good changes coming. But we need to start that process now. We have to stand up to the tyranny that the cabal has tried to institute on us. They don't have authority over us. Biden is not a legitimate president. He has no legal authority to do anything except maybe determine the color of toilet paper in federal buildings. He could issue an order maybe decreeing that all federal buildings have pink or purple toilet paper. That's about all Biden can do. So why should anybody pay attention to him? I should tell you that I've heard discussions that among the white hats in our military, and there are white hats in our military, there's a lot of fine people in our military, that they are considering a new form of government, which would be a council kind of government. You wouldn't have three branches of government. Instead, you'd have a council where people would meet, and they would be selected upon their spiritual qualities to lead the country through these times. But it'd be very different than what it is now. They said that there's too much power is based upon one person as a president, and on the other hand, the other extreme, that there's too many in Congress. Like 400 odd people in the House of Representatives, another 50 or so, 50 or 52 or so in the, or over 100 in the Senate. It's too big. It's too unwieldy for the system to work. Fortunately, our court system is working. I mean, it's got its problems too, but the federal court system is staffed by many fine men and women. Who are following the Constitution? That's what they're entrusted with, and they are helping to ensure that we have our rights and freedoms. So, Robert F. Kennedy is a real angel in the fight for freedom here in the United States. His Children's Health Defense Fund is a fantastic organization. I urge you to support them. Because they are standing up for our freedoms and our rights and liberties. President Kennedy said that neither he nor George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, all of our presidents have worked extremely hard in the past to help this country and help our people gain freedom and keep our freedom and act as a model, as an inspiration for the rest of the world. We are meant to be living free. We are meant to be happy. We are meant to be living in harmony and peace, without conflict, without racism, without any problems. This is our destiny, and this is what I've been in discussions for a long time about with the Pleiadians as well as the Talosians underneath Mount Shasta. I've learned quite a bit from both of them, and Edmahalosaurus as well, of course, about how people can live in a beautiful and harmonious way without conflict. And this is what we're headed to. And we are changing rapidly this month. As we speak, the planet is shifting into the fourth dimension. There will soon come a time when people will just be able to look at each other, and you'll be able to read each other's minds telepathically. And as that happens, no one will be able to tell any lies anymore. The fake caricature of Biden or whoever he is, you'll be able to look at him and start laughing because you'll know that he's just an image on a green screen controlled by somebody from the cabal. It's like the end of the Wizard of Oz movie where the guy at the end has this monster and he's just pushing the controls, and you realize that there's really nobody back there controlling it. There's other people controlling it, but it's not as terrible as you might think. And that's exactly what's happening with today's society. None of these governments have any authority over us. And what President Kennedy said is that freedom comes from God. It doesn't come from any government. It doesn't come from a governor of a state, for example, that issues orders regarding masks or social distancing or business closures and openings. It doesn't come from them. It comes from God. This is where our freedoms come from. And one of the things that President Kennedy has told me too, and this has been confirmed by Nostradamus, is that government's going to get a lot smaller in the future, because people will realize what they need to do and how they need to act, and they won't need to rely upon the security or police apparatus of a particular state in order to have freedom. It's going to be an interesting time in human evolution. Let me give you an example of that. When you've got a flock of geese, right, and they're flying around in information. Now, there's no such thing as a geese police or goose police that goes up and tells an individual bird to stop flying, or they're flying too fast or anything. That's ridiculous, because all the birds, each particular goose, knows how much, how fast to fly to stay in unison with everyone else. They already know the rules, and they're all telepathic. We humans will act the same way, because deep down inside, we don't need a police force to tell us what to do and what not to do. We just need to follow our heart and connect in with God. That was one of the lessons of Atlantis, is that they fell away from God. And when they fell away from God, that's when they became very negative, surfaced itself, and they ended up destroying their civilization about 12,500 years ago. I've showed this quarter a couple times on my show today. I'm going to show it again today. Just look at it quickly. Take the most recent quarter issued by the illegitimate Biden administration. There's George Washington. And if you're in the United States, you can see right there it says, "In God We Trust." Notice how George Washington's facing this way. "In God We Trust." In other words, Biden, the corrupt fake Biden administration has turned its back on God. That's exactly what this quarter says. And what's interesting, if you look at any other older quarters, starting in 1932, when the Washington quarter was first minted during the Depression, George Washington was also always facing "In God We Trust." So now under Biden, now we don't have a government that follows God anymore, and this government will not last very long at all. What's interesting is that people, it's all in the media. It's all what's been mind controlled and given to us as information. Back when I was a lot younger, back in college, in the 70s and 80s, there were real journalists out there who did their job, and you could find good reporters who would tell you the truth. They really were, and they were truly independent. And there was a whole school of journalism that actually was, the truth was valued. They didn't. There was, there is some twisting of the facts, but it was overall pretty good, and people got their news from the newspapers and from the national media, and it wasn't too bad. It was nice to get the truth back then. But nowadays we don't have an independent media. We have mass media. All of media in the United States, all 90% of it's owned by 5 or 6 companies. And you don't get the diversity. This is why there's such a hunger for nowadays for programs such as mine, which are alternative media. And I work very hard on this show to present you only with the truth, and only what my angels tell me, because that's what people want. They want the truth. They're sick and tired of being lied to. Can you imagine what's going to happen when the stuff starts to hit the fan? It's already started regarding the shot deaths. People start dying off from these deaths. When the CDC, Fauci, and even Biden said, "Oh, it's safe and effective. You need to take this so you won't get sick from the virus that they never proved even existed." What's going to happen when you get like a 30% death rate in the United States, 25% death rate? Are you going to be happy about that? I don't think so. And what Cliff High has said, we're going to see a lot of street justice coming in too. So President Kennedy wants us to think about these issues, but he doesn't want people to get violent, because all it does is gets that lower vibration and takes us off the path of ascension. He said to be more like Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi, of course, was able to throw out the British Empire out of India in 1947 after years of peaceful protests. And he was able to do it on his own through each individual acting in their own way for peace in India. Of course, they had a lot of problems there between the Hindus and the Muslims, and they ended up in partitioning the country, which Mr. Gandhi thought was a big mistake. But nevertheless, his example of he said he always says to me, "Be the change that you wish to see in the world." In other words, if you want a peaceful, loving, and happy planet, be that within yourself. Be peaceful, loving, and happy, and use that as a model for others as well. If you're faced with a tyrannical government or a tyrannical leader or tyrannical tough decisions regarding some of the governments around the world, don't react with violence, because that'll just cause more problems. Do peaceful protesting. This is what Gandhi did, and he was able to throw out the British back in 1947. I think the conditions, President Kennedy is saying the conditions are certainly ripe for a new second American Revolution, but it's going to be different this time because there's not going to be violence. There's not going to be a war, but there's going to be a battle. And there is a battle going on now. I myself have had over a dozen different death threats on me in the past year and a half or so. I know where they come from, but I do take precautions, and I am protected. So President Kennedy says that he's standing behind us all, and he'll be with us through the ascension. People have sent me some questions, interesting questions, during the last... since I posted this yesterday, let me look and see if there's more questions that have come in. One of the questions is about whether he's still alive. And President Kennedy just kind of chuckled about that. He said that he's alive in the fifth dimension, but he isn't... He is not alive in the third dimension. Here's a question from Lori, sent me. How did you, quote, this question for President Kennedy, how did you manage to survive the bullet in your head by your driver in Dallas? Well, he didn't, actually. I mean, it's a good question. That's what he says about that, that he has been on the other side. And so has Jackie been on the other side as well, both of them have been on the other side, and they've been working tirelessly for peace. Jackie, in particular, is really sad about the 40,000 children per month that the Biden government, Biden Corral, Biden administration now is forcing into sex trafficking and adrenochrome along the Mexican border. This would have never happened under Trump. Of course, Trump was dead set against any kind of child trafficking or adrenochrome. But President Kennedy said that the punishment that will be given to the spiritual punishment that will be given to the Biden administration, the border guards and the cartel actively participating in the adrenochrome and the capturing and selling of little children for and young women for sex trafficking along the border now will be severe for them. And they will show the God will show no mercy upon their souls. So does that bother? It bothers me what's going on. Why aren't there thousands of Americans demonstrating against that happening now against the border? I don't know. It bothers me to think of little children. They're estimating now 40,000 children, little children per month are now being taken by the cartel with the Biden government help into sex trafficking and adrenochrome. Out now, illegal, totally reprehensible. Is anybody going to do anything about it? Just let it go. I mean, in Nazi Germany, there were a lot of so-called good Germans who stood by and watched Hitler ship between 6 to 10 million Jews to various concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And if you stood up there, you get shot. But here we have the Second Amendment. We still have our guns, thank goodness. And we could stand up to this if we had to. I'm just putting this out there. These are questions being asked of President Kennedy. And like was asked earlier in my program today, when you watch these videos of the protesters in Amsterdam and in Paris and other cities in Europe right now, tens of thousands of people protesting the higher fuel prices, the skyrocketing food prices, the fact that Holland has tried to privatize, tried to take away all the farmers' land. Where are the Americans? What are we doing over here? I don't know. I don't know what to tell them. But they see what's going on from the other side, and they kind of wonder about us. The good news in all of this, I think we're going to win this battle. We Americans sometimes react slowly to challenges. But I'm confident the American people and President Kennedy is confident as well that we will stand up. It's just a question of time. Frankly, I'm, I, uh, I wish Biden had been thrown out of office 2 years ago in a New York minute when it was discovered that his election was completely fraudulent. But for whatever reason, he's still in office. But there's no, I don't see why there's any legal reason for anybody to follow him or act or do whatever he says, because he doesn't have any authority, at least not. He doesn't have any authority over the military either. And if you're ordered to take a jab to keep your job in the military, stand up, take it to federal court. You will win, because Biden himself has no legal authority. Let me tell you an example of what happens when people stand up. In June 1942, I think I've mentioned this before, the Nazis tried to force, and I'm using this example because I consider the Biden regime a Nazi regime, a fascist dictatorship of the people that has no connection to the American public. But at any rate, in June 1942, the Nazis wanted all school teachers in Denmark to teach Nazi doctrine to little children. And every single teacher in Denmark refused, and not one teacher ever went to a concentration camp. Isn't that amazing? It's the same way today. If we all stand up against the tyranny of the Biden and the cabal and the powers that shouldn't be, they won't be able to do anything to us, because we are powerful sovereign beings meant to create a much better and happier planet, and we have to remain strong during this time period, or else we will lose our freedoms forever. This is it. This is it, my friends. And a clear dividing line is being drawn between those who are ascending and those who are not, those who want to live in peace and harmony and happiness for the future, and those who want to live in that old way of doing things of conflict and war. I guarantee you there is another planet that's been created for the negatives and for people who don't want to be part of this new golden age, and they will go to this lower dimensional, third dimensional planet. And that's on the other side of the Earth. I'm not sure whether it's been named yet, but it is there. People like George Bush Sr. is there now. Both Clintons are dead, and they're there now at that planet. Adolf Hitler is there, actually. He will be creating a similar system that he created in World War II. But he will fail again. He'll work out his karma. He hasn't learned all of his lessons yet. But people, negative beings, will be going there as well. And I wish them outside. On the other side of this solar system, in the same orbital path as this Earth here, it's kind of like a true prison planet. That's what Alex Jones has called the Earth before, a prison planet. But this Earth is ascending, and it's going into the higher dimensions. And as President Kennedy has told me many times, he wants as many people as possible to join him, and also become part of this beautiful new Earth that we're creating now as we speak. A couple of years ago, before this scamdemic or plandemic, whatever you want to call it, was created, I thought the ascension was basically not easy, but I could clearly see it happening, and I was quite optimistic. That was back in 2019, when society was fairly normal. Little did I know that they had planned this since 2010 with something called Operation Lockstep. And if you pay attention, you can look it up on the web, and it was done by the Rockefeller Foundation, whereby Bill Gates spent $10 trillion, that's with a T, trillion, and Warren Buffett spent another, how much did he spend? $27 or $37 trillion with a T to create this virus that would wipe out humanity. And at the same time they created it, the corona, whatever it's called, they also created the vaccine as well to counteract it. So they've had both now for about 12 years. They started back in 2010. So it's been planned for a long, long time. The first trials with the mRNA technology were actually done in 2011 in the Seattle area and across the country with 200,000 volunteers. Of those 200,000 people who took part in the mRNA technology, only five are alive today, just five. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the coming decade for people who took the shot. I don't see 100% death rate with the shot. I think it's going to be more like 25 to 30%. But you can also lessen that too. You can you can live through it if you ask God for help. And there's a lot of good remedies out there recommended by some good medical doctors. I'm happy to send anyone a sheet on remedies if you like. Then my email, just send me an email if you'd like a copy of it, to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'm happy to send it to you for free. So there are alternatives and there's solutions out there. One of the most troubling things about the SHOT program, of course, is that it takes away, it shuts down your pineal gland and takes away your connection to God. And without that, you're no longer human. And you, if you don't have a connection to God, you can no longer express love, empathy, compassion, any emotions. And you become like a biological entity, a biological entity without any love or no human characteristics. One of the problems today with many people is that they shed after taking the SHOT program. They exude the spike proteins and they get other people sick. And if you get shedded upon, you can help heal yourself by making hydrochloroquine, getting some ivermectin, drinking pine needle tea. There's lots of remedies you can get that are either free or very inexpensive, and to help you out. Every time if I go out shopping or out in public, and when I come back, I always check my what I call the snake venom level to see how much shedding I got from people who got the vax. Now, this won't be a problem starting in the spring of next year, because most of those people shedding now will likely be dead. And so they will not be a problem. But the other good thing, in a good way, though, is that the Pleiadians have been bombarding planet Earth with lots and lots of positive energy, love, and light for many months now. And they've actually stepped it up during the past year, year and a half. And this is what Admiral Hollishurst didn't talk about it, but it is a program that they were authorized by the Supreme Being to do, to help raise the consciousness and actually heal people from that have taken the shot so that they won't die. So many people who I saw dying last fall didn't die, and they didn't die because they were helped by the Pleiadians and by the positive energy now coming into planet Earth. So all of us have waited a long time for this moment in human history. Myself, I've been here for almost 52,000 years. So I'm a very patient person, and I've waited all these years to be part of this amazing event in human history. Now we're watching an entire civilization of humanity on this planet shift now into the fourth dimension. It's happening right now as I speak, this month. Next month, there will be some life-changing things happening, according to the Pleiadians. They haven't told me all the details, so they don't want to interfere with their free will. They're very careful about that. They don't want to affect our choices, but they do want to warn us of certain things coming. And they also said that October 22nd would be a very powerful and important day in the history of humanity. So that's just, about 5 weeks away now, and we're right in the middle of the fourth dimension. By the time we shift fully into fourth dimension, we will be able to communicate telepathically. I should be able to just look at people here on the screen and read their minds. I'll probably get a little overloaded. So there will be techniques you'll have to learn to shut off people, because otherwise you will get overloaded. I do have friends who are empaths, and when they go into crowds, they always get tons of messages from other people, and they have to learn to shut it off, because if they don't shut it off, they can get totally overloaded and get potentially burned out. I've seen that happen too with people. So, but we're entering into that situation, and now, and the interesting thing is, if you're in a foreign country, let's say you speak only English and you're down in Mexico or South America and you're surrounded by people who only speak Spanish, you'll be able to understand them very easily by just by communicating with them telepathically, which would be kind of fun. Many years ago, when this planet was first settled by the Pleiadians back 200,000-300,000 years ago, the Atlanteans, as a result, and then that later became, they evolved to the Atlanteans and the Lemurians. The Atlanteans, I'm told, only had one language. That's right. They only had one language. They communicated telepathically, but as far as when they spoke, they only had one language, so they understood each other very clearly. We will get back to that as well, and there'll be a clarity of understanding and purpose that we've never had before. If you're, for example, imagine if you're a business person and you're establishing a new business or whatever, or hiring employees and providing goods and services. Well, if you want to talk to anyone, you simply look at them and you'll be able to telepathically read their mind, and they'll be able to do the same with you. So you won't be able to lie to anybody, and it'll be an amazing time. Just think, just by looking at someone, you'll be able to tell what's on their mind, 100% accurate, and they'll be able to also communicate with you and tell what's on your mind with 100% accuracy. How many of you would like to all live in a place like that? Well, that's what we're headed for. We are headed for that time, and it's called universal consciousness. When you pass over in this life from the third dimension and you, well, I should say fourth now, we're in the fourth now, in the fifth dimension, that's what people do, is that they communicate telepathically when they're in the dream state, when they're in the fifth dimension. The Pleiadians communicate. They have a language. It sounds a little bit like Cherokee, Native American Cherokee language, but it's they do communicate telepathically. So they just look at each other and they can communicate ideas back and forth, just like that, instantaneously. Now, won't that be an amazing way to communicate? As far as the kinds of technologies that we're going to see, we will see water-based computers. The water-based computers were used during the Atlantean times and the Lemurian times. They had storage capabilities far greater than anything we have in metal right now. And the computers were actually organic. Even today, the Talosians underneath Mount Shasta actually have amino acid-based computers. And Zora of the Hollow Earth has told me about them, actually. They're very interesting. I'd love to see one. Maybe on one of my trips down to see Andaman and Telos, I'll ask to see some of their technology. I think that would be fun. But they have organic computers. I know aboard the Pleiadian mothership, the computers there are organic, as is the ship is organic too. So if you're on board the ship, you have to keep very positive thoughts. If you have any negative thoughts, you can wreck the machinery on the planet, or even you could theoretically cause the ship to crash. So they're very careful on who they allow on board. They're very careful that no one has any negativity or bad thoughts, if you will, because all of the equipment is controlled by people's thoughts. They have rows. They have a huge picture windows on the mothership. And they have what's called, it's like steel, but it isn't. There's another additive added to it, but it makes this steel-like structure translucent. So you can see, if you're inside the ship, if you're up on the main deck, you can see out, and you can see the Earth, and you can see the galaxy and other star systems. It's an amazing, amazing view. It's just like on Star Trek. But just below these picture windows, you have large consoles where engineers, typically in light blue uniforms, are programming, doing programming for the computers on board the ship. And they're all lights. They communicate it through their thought processes and touching it as well. And you'll see them moving their hands around with lights showing up on the screen. It's a very interesting way to program. But again, you have to be mentally trained to do that kind of work and not to get negative, because if you get negative, you can mess up the ship. They will escort you off, by the way. You're considered dangerous to the crew if you are. So I'll never forget this story that Alex Collier told me years ago. He had gone up on an Andromeda ship, I think it was 1998, and a bunch of small Andromeda children came out to see him. And as soon as they saw him, their parents told them where Alex was from Earth, and all the kids ran off in fear, because they'd heard so much about the conflicts and problems on this planet, and they didn't want anything to associate them. Later, I think Alex was able to talk to them okay, when they realized that he was a benevolent fellow and it meant them no harm. But that's a reputation off this planet, is that we're a warlike planet, but we're learning to ascend. We are getting better. Mother Earth has been in the ascension phase stage since September 2016. When I first found out about the ascension, it was that September 2016, I was at Mount Shasta. And during that month of September 2016, the vibrations of planet Earth doubled from 7.8 hertz to 13.8 hertz. And I remember that time very well because I suddenly got very, very tired. And since that time, the level of vibration on this planet has gone up, up, and away. Did you know, for the fun of it, that the vibration of love is 528 hertz? I'm looking for a love tuning fork. I have them, actually. I'll see if I can find one. But love tuning forks are fun. They vibrate at 528 hertz. And when you hit one of them, you spread love everywhere. Let's see if I've got one here. Well, no matter. If you'd like one, just go to my website, outofthisworldreadings.com, and you're welcome to order one there for $55. And if you're outside of the U.S., the postage has gone up, and I'm happy to send it to you. This is a fantastic moment in human history. President Kennedy is saying now that he knows it's been a hard time for many people in the United States and elsewhere around the planet, but he's got your back, as does many other benevolent galactic beings, humans, and others have our back as well. And they're all looking at us very intently and watching us and giving us as much support as they can without violating the doctrine of free will, and wishing that we have we are every success to the ascension. There, as President Kennedy is saying now, if he'd been allowed to live back in the 60s, we would have joined the Galactic Alliance back in by 1972, and we would have been exchanging. We would have had decades of exchanging ambassadors between a representative of different benevolent extraterrestrial races and our own for the past 40 or 50 years. Instead, we took a negative path. The negative path was started by President Eisenhower. He says when Eisenhower agreed to an illegal treaty with the reptilians and the Greys, that in exchange for some of their technology to fight the Soviets at the time, that they would be allowed to abduct and study us humans. None of this was ever ratified by Congress. It's completely illegal, and it took us down a very warlike path. Some say that the Gulf Wars in the 80s and the 90s, all those conflicts were not only totally unnecessary, but would have never happened if we had accepted the offer of the Pleiadians for help. The Pleiadians actually offered to help us develop a spiritually advanced planet based upon harmony and peace back in 1952-53. But they said that we would have had to get rid of our nuclear weapons, and that's something that Eisenhower actually was open to the idea, but Tricky Dick Nixon, the vice president, didn't want to do it. The Pleiadians had offered to get rid of all the diseases here on planet Earth. But Nixon had a lot of friends in the medical establishment, in the American Medical Association, a lot of doctors he knew, a lot of big pharma companies he knew. And he said, if everybody got healed of cancer and all these diseases, how could they make any money? So he was against it. And also the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted weapons. They wanted nuclear weapons. They wanted to keep their weapons. And so they were against this proposal by the Pleiadians to help us. I wish, times were different back then, but I wish Eisenhower had shared this proposal with the American public and the world. I think it could have turned out a lot more differently. If we had had a vote in 1953, for example, offering people the eradication of all disease on this planet in exchange for a beautiful and spiritual planet where people would live in peace and harmony with free energy and without disease, but with no nuclear weapons, would have people accepted it? I think they would have. They certainly would accept it now if we were offered that proposition again. But people have to remain strong. President Kennedy said that this is the seventh civilization on planet Earth to get this far in the ascension cycle. We will be in the fifth dimension in about 2 years, more or less. And this is the first time in galactic history that any planet anywhere in this universe has shifted so far, so fast, crossing two-dimensional boundaries from third to fourth and fourth to fifth within 2 or 3 years. Just hasn't been done before. So all the eyes of this planet are looking at us very carefully as to what choices we make, not only longer term, but also every day. When you first wake up in the morning, my friends, President Kennedy says, trust your heart mind. What does your heart mind tell you what to do? And always make it a focus to make this world a better place. And he'll give you an example now. If you're out driving around and maybe doing some shopping or another part of the world and you run into somebody homeless on the street, go up to them. If you've got some money, give them some money, a little money, or give them some words of encouragement. Maybe refer them on to some sort of social service agency where they can get help. They don't have to live on the street. But do some act of kindness for people today. And if all of us did one act of kindness today, we would have 8 or 9 billion acts of kindness every day. And just imagine how quickly we would ascend and create a beautiful and happy planet. Isn't that an amazing thought? It actually came from President Kennedy and Mahatma Gandhi as well. The little things in life count, not the big things, the spirits say, but the little things. I had a fellow on my show, when was it? Oh, it was about 5, 6 years ago. His name is Garnet Schulheiser, nice fellow. He used to work in corporate law in Calgary, Alberta. He won millions of dollars for his clients. But you know what he said? The angels told him the most important thing he ever did. The most important thing he said he ever did, according to his angel friends, is that he sat down on a park bench on a spring day in Calgary. Now, it gets cold up in Calgary, but anyway, he did. And he sat next to this homeless lady. And the homeless lady started telling him all about all her problems, and he started giving her some good advice about where she could get shelter. She was homeless, didn't have any money. And he spent only about a half hour with her. Months later, she comes looking for him at that same square. And guess what had happened? She'd gotten a great job. She got some help from some churches and other social service organizations. She met a nice fellow, was planning on having a family, and her life had been completely turned around. And according to Garnet, that was one of the most important things he ever did in his home life. Not make all this money in his law firm, but rather spending 30 minutes with a homeless lady on a park bench in the spring in Calgary, Alberta, just before the snows, this just before summer. And he said that was the most important thing that he'd ever done spiritually. And so in your day-to-day lives, look for the small things and look for opportunities to help people in any way you can. Those who will be ascending will become service to others, not service to self. They've actually, psychologists have done studies and found that people who help others in a service not service to self, but in a very loving way of service to others, they're happier, they're healthier, they live longer, and they actually prosper. Because when you put out, when you give out and do good things to help society, you get it back. And that's the wheel of karma. It comes back to you in a good way. And negatively speaking, it also happens that way in a negative way as well. If you put out negative stuff, well, guess what? That's what you're going to get back. So you have to be a little careful with that. But as far as day-to-day living, people ask me, well, what can I do to wake up, or what can I do to ascend? Treat others with kind and respect. One of the things that President Kennedy is saying to me now, and he told me actually this about a year ago, more than a year ago, if you want to change the world and make it a better place, look no farther than your family. Isn't that interesting? So look at your brother or sister or your long lost cousin you haven't seen in a million years. And last time you saw them, you were in an argument with them. and try to mend some fences and treat them with love and respect, and know that everyone is on a different level of ascension. We're not all the same. This is like a huge school here on planet Earth, and you can learn things from the spiritual side of things here in the third dimension, I should say fourth, because we're in the fourth now, that you can't learn on the other side. Oh, sure, you can have a lot of spiritual growth on the other side, but you can't learn lessons like you can learn on this side of the veil, so to speak. The spirits are always around you, your grandfather or grandmother who passed away years ago. Often they are your guardian angels, and they're there looking over you and helping you in ways you can't even imagine. The spirits, as like with President Kennedy, they all communicate with thought. So your thoughts are very important on the other side. And so you want to keep your thoughts as positive as possible, because your thoughts and intentions do create reality. And if you think negative things all the time, you'll create a negative reality. So it's important to keep positive thoughts, even with dealing with negative governments, like the U.S. government, which is very awful and very negative, the Canadian government, these other governments. They're not going to be in office very much longer, my friends. And I want everyone today to visualize not only world peace that President Kennedy wants us to do, world peace, but also for a better world as well, a world of peace and harmony, where people get along, get together, and they're not fighting. President Kennedy is asking everyone now to take a minute and visualize love and light for the whole world being wrapped up in this ball of golden yellow light, which is healing light, and white light, which is God's light. And we can create a better world by just looking at that. And for the tyrannical governments in the world, let's all pray that this ends soon. We can create it. We can stop this nonsense in a New York minute if we want, because we have the power to stop it. We created it, and we have the power to stop it. The negatives have lost this battle. They're not going to stop the ascension. And so I want people to remember that we have a lot of battles ahead of us, some battles left, but the war has already been won by the positives. And I have Matthew Speaks. Susie Ward comes on my program on a regular basis. And in Matthew's most recent broadcast, he talked about how about how love and light, if you want to battle the darkness, battle it with love and light. Take the high road with someone you disagree, and treat them with love and kindness, because they won't have anywhere to go. They won't be able to attack you if you treat them with love and kindness. Always take the high road. Everyone here today came here as a choice, and I want people to remember that, because this moment in history is very special. You won't see this again for planet Earth. This is the last time we will be in third and fourth dimension before we flip to the fifth dimension. There's a lot of differences in fifth dimension. It's like being in a dream state. But it's a time when people will be truly happy, and we won't have the conflict that we do today. One of the things that President Kennedy appreciates about Don and Doug and the VBS radio system is that they give people a real platform to help make this world a better place. And for that, I appreciate their support so much. I've been broadcasting now since November of 2013, and I started my program on the advice of angels who wanted me to start writing books and start my own radio show. So, and this has been a wonderful journey for me. I started this journey actually 52,000 years ago, when during that time Atlantis actually blew itself. Part of Atlantis fell into the Atlantic Ocean. Much of it was left. Part of it fell into the Atlantic Ocean. And I came here to help awaken people back then during the Atlantean times to their mistakes and help raise consciousness to make this world a better place. And I've been doing that ever since. I realized my life purpose here in this lifetime about back in 2012, 2013, when I was approached by several homeless people who out of the blue said, "Ted, you need to start your own radio show and start writing books for the Ascension." So I didn't know these people, but they came up to me and told me that. So they were angelic messengers helping to guide me on my spiritual path. Often you will run into the same kinds of messages in your life. If you have any questions about your soul purpose or talking to the other side, feel free to email me. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I know that if we all work together, we can create a much happier and bright and better world. As President Kennedy is stating now, united we stand, divided we fall. And there's nothing we can't do, according to President Kennedy and the Pleiadians, if we all work together. If we all work together, I know we're going to create a much better and happier planet. And we already are. We already are doing that now. There's so many good things happening. I think next month, on October 22nd, if I had to make a guess, let me double check. I think the med beds will be announced then. That's my guess. I don't know. The med beds, of course, will heal a lot of people. If you've taken the jab, it'll heal that as well, but it will not, I've been told that it will not reverse the mRNA technology. However, the mRNA technology can be reversed with Pleiadian or galactic help, but you have to ask for it. It's a little different. I think there's going to be a lot of good surprises coming up next month. The Pleiadians say that that next month is going to be a game changer, that things that I don't see, I see Biden office leaving office soon, and I also see Trudeau leaving office soon. A lot of governments are going to be thrown out. Already the Dutch have thrown out their agricultural minister for trying to shut down over 11,000 farms in Holland. Holland's an important agriculture producer for much of Europe because they produce food for just about all of Europe. And this is what they were trying to do, trying to starve the people out in Europe. And it's a coordinated effort, by the way. This is what Biden has tried to do here in the United States. I think we're gonna see some food shortages next month here in the United States. I don't think it's going to be life-threatening, but if you've got access to food, buy some extra food, stock it up. Pasta's good from Italy. Buy some extra canned goods so you'll just have extra food in case you need it. You never know. And if nothing happens, you can just eat it. That's always a good thing to do. I want to thank everyone so much for their love and support. I started my show back almost 9 years ago on the advice of angels. And it was the best decision I ever made, and I haven't looked back since. On my Monday show, which is a German show, I believe that'll be out of Vienna, Austria, on Radio Soul International in German and English. I'm bringing on a fellow named Dr. Christopher Macklin. He's been on my show before, a wonderful naturopathic doctor. He's full of life, love, and lots of good energy, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy him. In a couple of weeks' time, I'll be bringing in Patricia Corey coming in. I'm not sure where she is. I think she's somewhere in Europe. I'm not sure. But I'll be having her on. And Judy Kelly, wonderful lady, will be also coming in on my show a week from today. So I hope you'll enjoy it. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit, listener-supported show. And I really appreciate all your support. If you'd like to donate to help support the show and keep us on the air, just go to my website at on BBS Radio, or you can go to www.outofthisworld1150.com. On behalf of President Kennedy, the Pleiadian High Council, the Galactic Alliance of Interdimensional Free Worlds, and all the beautiful benevolent beings in this galaxy and other galaxies and other dimensions as well, I want to thank you so much for all your beautiful love and support. With today's show, we had about somewhere around 390 million listeners on planet, and another 191 benevolent beings listening off planet. The show itself is being listened to. I want to thank my friends on board the Pleiadian mothership, and as I said before, it's being transmitted to the base at Alcone in the Pleiades constellation. Much love to everyone. Thank you again so much for listening, and I can't wait to see you all on this Monday. On Radio Soul International out of Vienna, Austria. We'll be in off Deutsch and English as well. And in a week from Monday, I start my new Japanese. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you all so much. I appreciate it.